From the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, this is the Closing Market Report. Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's January the 28th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Bush administration is weighing in on the proposed farm bill legislation. It is making a pitch on the Hill today. Speaking of which, there's a lot of chatter these days that the compromise, even if it were to make it to the president's desk, might not make it into law. So, some are suggesting it would then be better to revert to the 1949 version of the Farm Bill rather than extending the 2002 version. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear a commentary from the Farm Bureau, and I'll bring you up to speed on some important winter meetings for beef producers in the state of Illinois. It all happens right here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat up the limit, 30 higher at $9.63. May contract up 30 as well at $9.77.5. And July futures at $9.08 were up 29 cents. March corn futures at $5.02.25 up 4 cents. The May up 3.5 at $5.14.25. And July futures at $5.23 up 4 cents. 5.10.5, the settlement price for the December contract in the corn pit. Your new crop settled at 0.75 cents higher. March soybean futures at $12.53.75, up 10.75. The May futures at $12.72.25, up 10.75 for the afternoon. And July soybeans at $12.87, up 11.75. November contract $12.28.75, down 3.25. March bean meal at $3.36.50, up 1.50 for the day. May futures at $3.42.80, up 1.20. March bean oil futures $52.55, 54 higher. The May futures at $53.19, up 47. And the live cattle at the CME Group settled $90.75, 100 weight, down 65 cents. The April futures were down 55 at 93.82.5. January feeder cattle 99.55, up 95. The March contract at 102.67.5, 57.5 cents higher. February ling hog futures at 57.25, up 105. April futures at 63.50, up 155. And the May contract at 71.97.5, 55 cents higher for the afternoon. Outside markets trading the nearby crude oil contract now at $90.85, up 14. The April futures at $90.75 at 28 cents barrel higher. The U.S. dollar at 75.563 is down 0.371, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,303. It is just about 96 points higher for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, as he does each and every Monday afternoon, is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace and how things proceeded from Friday afternoon to this afternoon.
Well, the market had a concerned attitude as we started the morning with the overnight trade lower due to lower world equity markets, and that gave us a lower opening call, but as the morning went on, we saw a fairly good export inspections report. We shipped out 24 million bushels of wheat, 61 million bushels of corn, and almost 28 million bushels of beans. So we're continuing to move out what we sold, which is positive. Then we saw the U.S. equity market recover. The U.S. crude oil market recovered and gold moved sharply higher to help give the investor confidence level a little bit higher of a boost. And as the day wore on, we saw the wheat market scream higher. Minneapolis wheat remained limit up most of the day. It's expected to open a 30-cent limit higher in the evening trade. March Chicago wheat's expected open anywhere from 4 to 5 higher in that trade this evening. But the supportive tone continues to be the tight supplies of Minneapolis wheat. There's ideas that that contract could run to $15 before that market cools and sort of rations what little supplies left over. But the corn and bean market followed somewhat, giving the market a little bit of confidence here today, seeing if we can't try to retrace a good part of the massive sell-off that we saw last week.
Are your expectations for the market this week to march sideways, higher, or lower?
Somewhat consolidation, sort of Dodge answer to your question. We have a 8 to 9 week cycle low due here this week. We're sort of backing and filling. I expected wide range of consolidation to take place until we get confirmation that we have these cycle lows due. Once we have these cycle lows due, maybe the market could regroup here and corn and beans and challenge the highs we made here. But the overall technical picture is somewhat concerning. There's some potentials, some head and shoulders top in some of the commodities. We're seeing some major retracement values that the market needs to get above to resume the uptrend in here. So we feel the theme here for the next 3 to 4 trading days through this week is somewhat sideways to lower in the corn and bean market.
Now, we do have some who believe the market is going to go higher, others that are of the attitude that even if it is, that they ought to be protecting income at this point, at these kinds of levels. What are your expectations for cash grain sales for producers, or how they might go ahead and protect themselves, and to which level for the new crops and percentages?
That's a real good question. There's various opinions out there that beans could rally another $2 or $3 or break $2 from here. Same thing on corn. Corn could rally, you know, $50 from here and maybe break $1 from here. And as a producer sort of caught in the middle here, you're going to hear Kurt Kimmel say one thing and the rest of your analysts say another thing. And it's going to be a real confusing and an emotional roller coaster. I know last week woke a lot of guys up, and that was a major concern. Our fear is we could see that again and not snap back like we have. So the number one theme with the high input costs, which we all know, is to protect what you have. And so there's some creative strategies out there where you can put in a floor at least, protect where we're at, and sort of leave this upside open, because how much cash grain to sell is sort of a delicate question. Everybody's a little bit different, and so when you look at who owns ground, who rents, on-farm storage, off-farm storage, but by putting some type of floor in, leaving your upside open is probably the number one strategy until we get a little further along, see how many acres of corn, how many acres of beans, and what type of weather. But probably the most frustrating thing of all is the basis. It's probably not going to get any better. We vision the basis probably even getting wider or worse as we go through the growing season as the cash in the future sort of diverge from each other. And so that sort of favors more of a paper position and look to lock in basis and market the actual cash in much better other time opportunity.
Todd? I'm going to open a door for you here, because it seems to me that an awful lot of producers will be looking at crop insurance this year and saying, that's more than I want to spend. Are they going to be able to do it more cheaply with you in terms of protecting income?
Well, that's a good question, and it's probably going to have to sit down and push the pencil both ways. We'll have to see what the prices are here and what type of price we come up here during the month of February here. If you're going to do it right, it's probably going to be fairly comparable, and it depends what route you go. If you go the futures route, you're going to have a pretty large line of credit to make margin calls.
Mm-hmm.
If you go the option route, you can pretty well lock in and be comparable there. But the one thing on comparing the two is kind of tough, because there's different ways you can go. What we can do is guarantee or lock in a floor or a price, whereas we're not going to be able to cover yield loss, and that's going to be the two major differences between the two. And that's something you got to look at in risk management. Are you worried about price or production? And we view that marketing and crop insurance are two tools you could use together in managing some of this price risk.
Kurt, thanks for joining us today.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Here's what our own chief meteorologist, Ed Geiser, has to say about the two-state region for tonight. He says a wind advisory is in effect for portions of northwestern and most of central and portions of southern Illinois. That until 9 o'clock this evening. Tonight, it will be mostly cloudy, says Ed, with windy and mild weather, some scattered showers. Lows will range from 40 in far northern Illinois to 50 in the far south. Tomorrow, Ed says, in Illinois, cloudy, some showers and thunderstorms, turning very windy and sharply colder during the afternoon, with rain showers changing to snow, showers in some locations. In Indiana, mostly cloudy and windy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs ranging tomorrow from 40 in the far northwestern part of Illinois to 60 in the far south. Dave Dickey is here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Acting USDA Secretary Chuck Connor says the White House is, quote, in no way telling Congress to limit farm bill spending at the baseline level. Connor says the Bush administration will not accept a tax increase for farm bill spending, but is willing to negotiate in all other areas. Connor is pitching a farm bill compromise to lawmakers today, but House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson is skeptical. Stuart Doan has more.
A frustrated Peterson told Arkansas cotton and rice growers that the administration's definition of compromise resembles what Connor outlined to him during a Thursday afternoon phone call. He'll say thanks, but no thanks.
They want to cut some money out of food stamps, some money out of conservation. They want the 200,000 AGI, which will raise $1 billion. Take down the fruit and vegetable a little bit, and so forth. And even with all of that, we still ended up $6 billion short of where we needed to be. They said, well, let's just cut the direct payments 25% to make up the difference. So that's what I've been dealing with.
Peterson promised to produce a final farm bill with bipartisan support by March 15th and said if President Bush vetoes it,
then he needs to understand that what he's doing is having us revert to permanent law. The administration hates this, and this is maybe the last leverage we have over the administration.
Peterson said he would not support a 1 or 2 year extension of the 2002 farm law. Stuart Doan, Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Meanwhile, National Farmer Union's President Tom Bias says he would rather see farm policy revert back to the 1949 permanent law than have Congress extend the 2002 farm bill.
Some people have said, why not just extend this farm bill for a year and see if we can come back next year and write a farm bill. I think that's the wrong move. I don't see a straight extension being able to garner enough votes in Congress to pass without all the add-ons and improvements that are needed throughout this farm bill title.
Bias adds he fears a long-term extension would lead lawmakers to take more money from commodity programs to boost spending in other areas. Senate Finance Chairman Max Baucus says he plans on marking up the economic stimulus package that was approved last week by the House in consultation with the White House. Baucus noted there is concern in the Senate that the package did not boost food stamp spending or extend unemployment benefits. President Bush has warned the Senate not to include additional spending requests in its version of the stimulus package. CME Group and NYMEX Holdings, the parent company of the New York Mercantile Exchange, have begun preliminary negotiations regarding CME's potential acquisition of NYMEX. The parties have agreed to a 30-day negotiation period. On the table is a deal that would pay NYMEX shareholders $36 in cash and just over one-tenth of a share of CME stock for each NYMEX share. CME Group executives say they would maintain trading floors in New York City if the deal was approved. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. There you'll find this program along with Commodity Week, and a way to sign up for each as a podcast or just listen to them after the fact directly from the website as MP3 files. It's all at willag.org. That's willag.org. In today's listener opinion forum, Champaign County Farm Bureau's Kirk Bilta takes a look at the legislation now floating on Capitol Hill and how it distributes monies.
With the holiday season behind us and a new year upon us, the time again comes to make our yearly resolutions. Yes, we have all thought long and hard, creating a list of goals that will define our 2008. Your resolution may be to shed a few extra pounds, to take more personal time for yourself, or to rededicate yourself to your career. No matter what resolutions you make, be sure to fight the temptations that come your way, as it may not take much to throw your plans off course. I, too, have created a list of New Year's resolutions, one of which was inspired by Illinois Farm Bureau President Philip Nelson at the 2007 Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting. President Nelson spoke of the rich traditions left behind by Illinois agriculture as he laid the groundwork for the future. President Nelson inspired hundreds of members to stand strong against the pressures facing agriculture, stating that we, as producers, must be the ones telling the true story of today's production agriculture. As we face these challenges, it is my resolution to provide area communities with factual information regarding our nation's greatest industry. And that resolution begins today. The 2007 Farm Bill made news last year as two separate versions were passed by both the House and the Senate. Oftentimes, we hear reports telling of the large farm subsidies that make up the bill. However, you are unlikely to hear that more than 60% of the 07 bill is marked for nutrition programs for the next 5 years. These programs include subsidized school lunches, World Hunger Relief, and the food stamp program. Yes, an overwhelming majority of the bill goes directly to nutritional and hunger relief programs, proving once again that we all depend on this important piece of legislation. In December, President Bush signed into law the Energy Bill, giving approval to more than $488 million in funding for Illinois projects. It also calls for studies on the impact of higher ethanol blend levels on engine performance and calls for 15 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol to be blended into motor fuel by the year 2015. Many argue that this increased use of corn will in turn drive up food prices. However, record demand for corn is being met with a record supply, as we have produced the four largest corn crops in each of the last 4 years. Grain farmers also take the heat as the price of a gallon of milk increases. According to the Illinois Farm Bureau, at today's corn prices hovering around $4.50, the value of corn in each gallon of milk is roughly 14 cents, or just over 4% of the total cost you pay at the supermarket. The same is true in a box of cornflakes, where according to the American Farm Bureau, the value of corn in one box is just 10 cents. Experts say that even if corn would double in price, it's difficult to see a negative correlation to the consumer price of a box of cornflakes, proving once again that we must continue to look at factors such as rising energy costs and transportation when playing the blame game. We must stand up for our industry. This is why, as we start this new year, I ask you to stand strong in agriculture. From the Champaign County Farm Bureau, I'm Kirk Bilta.
Kirk Bilta's comments are his own and reflect his opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just call us at 217-333-0850. Well, there are a couple of important events coming up for beef producers in the state of Illinois. Up next, I'll have more on the performance-tested bull sale and a pair of seminars designed to manage the herd sire. The largest number of Simmental bulls, 43, in the recent history of the performance-tested bull sale, are listed for the FAB 21 event to be held on the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Also on the sale program are a combination of 28 purebreds, 5 three-quarter blood composites, and 10 half-blood composites. Most of those composite bulls are Angus-based. All of the bulls are black except for one red bull, and all the bulls are polled except for two that are polled and skirred. In addition, 5 of the bulls are eligible to be used on heifers in the Illinois Heifer Development Program. Interested bull buyers can obtain a copy of the sale catalog by contacting Dave Seibert at the University of Illinois Extension Office in East Peoria, or by going online. Just search Google for Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. The sale is held during the Illinois Beef Expo. Speaking of that, prior to the FAB 21 sale at the Beef Expo, cow-calf operators might choose to hit one of two seminars in beef sire selection and management. They'll be offered by U of I Extension on the 29th of this month. Speakers at the seminar will include a local practitioner as well as industry and university representatives. The Mattoon Seminar begins at 9 o'clock at Lakeland Community College. At 4 p.m. in the afternoon, the Petersburg Seminar will be held at the Riverbank Lodge. Among the topics covered in the seminars are EPDs, what they are, what they're not, and how you can use them, understanding and incorporating physical traits into sire selection, and management of the herd bull with emphasis on yearling bulls. Reservations should be made by January the 24th and should go through the host county extension office. For the Mattoon event, contact the Coles County Extension Office. Call the Menard County Office for the event in Petersburg. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
On a Monday afternoon, we're joined to take a look at the cash grain market by the folks out at the Andersons. Brian Stark is with us today. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, last week, the week and a half before that, we talked a lot about the Andersons' move to limit HTAs and in 2009 only basis contracts. Can you tell me much about what the thought behind that process might have been?
I think a little bit more of a cautious approach, Todd. I think you look out to 2009 and 2010 with this acreage battle and unforeseen surge in demand over the next few years, and we're just trying to take a cautious approach and looking at producers, advising them maybe to slow down their thinking. $5 corn may look good today, but we don't know what our production costs are going to be out in 9 and 10. So I think just trying to limit their abilities to be as aggressive. You know, $5 corn sounds great today, but you know, if we don't produce it or we have a major weather scare in a crop year and become very tight, all of a sudden, you know, we could be looking at $6 or $7 corn. So, and that margin, obviously somebody has to borrow that money to feed Chicago on margin risk, and I think that's the main driver behind the whole thing right now.
All right, let's move into the basis and tell me about what the cash basis is doing here in the east central part of Illinois.
It's starting to firm a little bit. I think the processor starts to see his needs as we get through the second heaviest delivery period of the year through January, starting to look out for some coverage. We've seen anywhere from a nickel to a dime in appreciation in corn basis and bean basis around the same. I think as you get in closer to spring, obviously, that the basis should fundamentally tighten up as the pipelines start to dry up. But yet again, let's go back and just mention the whole drastic change from the basis side of things, specifically on the beans. Part of the reason why we have such a disconnect between the futures and the cash value is because of the basis being wide based on commercial liquidation. A lot of these smaller commercials can't afford to face the margin calls, so they've been pumping the pipeline ever since harvest, liquidating their bean carry. They just can't afford to carry them. So that's added a lot of extra pressure on the basis post-fall, and now we're starting to see just a slight bit of snapback.
Okay, we're out of time, but I have two questions for you. One, give me your bids, and the second one is, have you talked about cash settlement as convergence there, and would it be a good idea?
To answer your question, yes, we have talked about it, and obviously it's something that there's a disconnect that needs to be looked at, and the NGFA has a bunch of people looking at it right now, something that specifically in the beans and we've seen in the wheat in the past year needs to be reevaluated. Bid-wise, 482 cash corn, new crop is 470. Cash soybeans, $11.94, and fall, $11.69.
Thanks much, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Stark is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agriculture weather forecast. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Indicted political fundraiser Tony Rezko is back in federal custody. Authorities say Rezko was arrested at his Wilmette home this morning after a government motion to revoke his bond. Rezko has pleaded not guilty to charges of fraud, attempted extortion, and money laundering. He had long been a fundraiser for Governor Rod Blagojevich, Senator Barack Obama, and other politicians. A University of Illinois football player made his first appearance in court this afternoon on weapons charges. 19-year-old freshman Eric Robertson faces numerous counts, including aggravated discharge of a firearm and 2 counts of unlawful use of a weapon following a weekend arrest outside a Champaign bar early Sunday. He's currently free on bond. In a statement, Illinois coach Ron Zook said Robertson has been suspended indefinitely and will continue to evaluate his situation. David L. Scott walked out of the Vigo County Courthouse in Terre Haute, Indiana, a free man today after DNA evidence exonerated him. The 39-year-old Scott spent more than 2 decades in prison for the 1984 killing of 89-year-old Loretta Keith of West Terre Haute. But prosecutors say new DNA evidence clears Scott of the killing. Instead, the evidence implicated Kevin Mark Weeks of LaGrange, Kentucky. Weeks was arrested Friday. State Representative Bill Black says his bill to place a riverboat casino in downstate Illinois is a long shot. But the Danville Republican says he filed the bill to get lawmakers talking about the concept. The bill calls for placing a casino in a community of 50,000 people or less, such as Danville, where city officials are interested in hosting a casino. Black says casino tax revenue would help fund downstate road and school construction. The cleanup from a fire in an Indiana State University residence hall will force dozens of students to move elsewhere for the rest of the school year. The fire broke out last night on the 11th floor of the dorm on the Terre Haute campus. 4 people were treated after inhaling smoke. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WOLL Urbana on the line with us this afternoon. Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy on a Monday to talk about the agricultural markets. He's in Chicago. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Tell me about the, we're not talking about the agricultural markets, but we could if we want to. Let's talk about the weather
Let's
instead.
Let's talk weather, Todd.
That's what got you, wasn't it? That's why you stuttered. So tell me about the weather, please.
Well, looking here in the U.S., still the focus of attention is on winter wheat and prospects for rainfall across that area, or even for that matter, snowfall across the area of the plains. And for at least for much of the hard red crop, particularly in the heart of the belt from Kansas down through Texas, they're going to remain on the dry side here coming up. Now, the one item to note here as far as plains wheat is concerned is actually for wheat up in Montana. And we've seen over the past few years, just the increase in wheat area up in Montana, and temperatures have turned very cold here in recent weeks. We see another shot of cold. Actually, it's already beginning right now in areas of Montana with temperatures dropping down to minus 20, 25, minus 30. And for those areas that don't have any protective snow cover, certainly there's potential for some winter kill issues. So you go back several years ago, this probably wouldn't be that much of a big deal, but due to the increase in acreage up north, this is certainly something to keep an eye on when the crop comes out of dormancy.
How cold do you think it will be?
Well, in areas of Montana, we expect temperatures to drop down to minus 25, even some minus 30 Fahrenheit readings up close to the U.S.-Canadian border here tonight and again tomorrow night.
Tell me about here in the Midwest. A lot of wind this evening, I take it?
Yeah, kind of a stormy pattern here this week. No big major storms here coming through, but we have one wave of rain traversing the region right now. Another band of rain will come through tomorrow with then snow up across areas of eastern Iowa through areas of Wisconsin, where 4 to as much as 8 inches of snow will fall in a swath here. And after that, we do see another system here coming through as we go late this week into Thursday night and Friday.
And then round me out by talking about South America. Argentina in particular, they seem to keep cutting the size of their corn crop.
Yeah, well, from a corn standpoint, now we're kind of wrapping up our window of pollination, and it's really an assessment of the heat earlier this month and what that did to herding yield potential. And certainly the corn was hurt to some extent, and we've seen at least numerous days here in some of your largest producing areas of Argentina have as much as 7 to 10, even 12 days where temperatures exceeded 95 during the day. And numerous of those days actually approached or exceeded 100 degrees. So certainly that's had an impact here on the corn crop. From a soybean standpoint, we're still kind of waiting here as we're now entering our critical window of pod flowering and pod development here. And we've certainly seen an increase in soil moisture. So initially that's at least helping out. But we have a long ways to go here to determine the soybean crop down in Argentina.
Mark, thanks much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us each and every Monday afternoon on the Closing Mark Report to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Don't forget to tune in again tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening Mark Report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on the website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. I'm Todd Gleason.